Welcome to GoGo Radio. My name is Steve Hamilton, and today's topic will be Oracle disaster and recovery issues versus backup and recovery issues. If you'd like to learn more about me or my profile, please visit gogoh.com and look for Steve Hamilton. My area of expertise is Oracle. If you'd like to send me an email or ask me a question, please use the question and answer box on the bottom half of this screen. Today's topic will be Oracle backup and recovery issues versus disaster recovery issues. And one of the major misconceptions in most organizations is disaster recovery and backup recovery are very, very similar. Well, to some degree they are, and to some degree they're not. The number one thing that every organization needs to remember is that disaster recovery issues are measured in days or hours and days, whereas backup and recovery issues are measured in hours and minutes and seconds. If your system fails due to a hard drive failure or a loss of a data file, that is a backup recovery issue, and a lot of times we will have built-in redundancies for that. Our systems are on a RAID device, on a WAN or a SAN. So a lot of times we don't really even lose a data file. I mean, most organizations, if they lose data files, those data files are lost due to human error, not because of physical hardware failure. I mean, let's face it, systems today are pretty robust. Most systems are going to be set up on a RAID system, on a RAID 5 or a RAID 10. So if we lose a disk drive, we just pull out a disk drive and put in another disk drive, assuming we have monitoring capabilities in place where we can easily identify that problem. A lot of organizations, if they're in some sort of unmanned data center, they will not man that data center, would not be notified. And I've worked in some clients where they've lost two disks on a RAID 5 system and now they're out of luck. But you have good monitoring tools set up, you're notified that the disk has gone south, just replace the disk and you're good to go. You don't even have to go through a recovery scenario. Many organizations, they don't even have to shut the systems down. Those disks are going to be hot swappable. Because what happens in a backup and recovery scenario, when your systems are down, it costs your organization money. I mean, thousands of dollars. I've worked with organizations at $1 million a minute. If their system is down for 1 minute, it is $1 million. So they had plenty of money to spend to avoid any sort of disaster. I mean, that was a stock trading firm. And if their systems went down any time during the trading, it cost them that amount of money. If it went down after hours, it's really not that critical of a deal, but it does have to be fixed. It does have to be corrected. So most organizations today are going to be protected on RAID 5s from a hardware failure, but really what we're talking about here are more like human error, where a user goes out there and inadvertently deletes a file, or a user goes out there and inadvertently deletes a table, or something like that, or puts the database in some sort of recovery mode. And to handle those type of recovery modes, we resolve that or address that by backing up. We've chosen a particular backup method, whether it's going to be RMAN or user managed, or maybe some sort of third party tool. But we're going to place our systems in archive log mode, place our production systems in archive log mode so that we can successfully recover to the last committed transaction. We're going to back up early and often. We're going to back up in such a way that we know that we could recover fast enough. So let's say a lot of organizations will back up once a week. Well, that means the recovery time might be a little bit longer. If they back up every Friday and the failure occurs on Thursday, they have to restore the files from Friday and then roll them all forward. So your recovery time is going to take a little bit longer. If you back up every single day, so your failure was Thursday and you backed up Wednesday, you only have to rebuild the files from Wednesday and apply the archive logs from Wednesday. So your recovery time is going to go dramatically down. And this is also something that you need to test. So backup and recovery, it's something that we do on a day-to-day basis. Okay. The other thing that you have got to do is test your backups and test your recovery strategy. The last thing that you want to do is be in a position to test your recovery strategy when your system has gone south. And I've worked with clients that have done this. They don't know if their backups work, and then they have a failure. They just cross their fingers and they hope it works. So please set up some sort of schedule that maybe once a month or once a quarter you verify that your backups work. I don't suggest going any much more than monthly. I mean, because if you have a failure, you know, halfway through the quarter and you don't know if your system works or your backups work, that's just not a bad thing. That's not a good thing. You don't want to go to your boss and say, well, you know, the backup didn't work, so now we're kind of out of luck. So I would recommend that you test or validate your backups at least every month, at a minimum. So you set up those strategies. You set up this backup and recovery strategy. You're going to set up your validation. You know that you're going to be able to recover your system in, you know, a few short minutes, you know, an hour tops, because that downtime is going to cost you money. So that's your backup and recovery issues. We're recovering our system to the last committed transaction in a timely fashion. I mean, that's really huge. I mean, when we talk about backup and recovery strategies, it's two things. Recovering to the last committed transaction in a timely fashion. The other thing that we look at is disaster recovery issues. Okay, disaster recovery issues are a whole different ball of wax. A disaster recovery issue is the data center is gone. Okay, there has been some sort of natural disaster, or maybe even some sort of man-made disaster. There has been a fire, or there has been a flood, or there has been an earthquake, or a tornado, or something along those lines that has caused the data center to go south. I mean, it's not just a server that's gone away. Maybe the data center has gone away. At that point in time, you're in a disaster recovery scenario, meaning you have to now fail over to a completely different system, or you have to rebuild your system. Now, there's a couple ways that organizations will do this. One is that they take all of their backups, they put them on tape, and they put them into offsite storage. That's a perfectly acceptable way of doing that. The downside to that is if your existing data center is gone, you have all of these tapes out there, or offsite storage, which is fine, but now you have to find a location, find servers to restore all of that data from tape. Okay. The other thing that you also have to understand, in a disaster recovery scenario, most often than not, you're going to lose data. A disaster recovery scenario means that you're probably going to lose a little bit of data. Now, is it going to be a lot or a little? We really don't know, because that's going to be depending upon how you set up your disaster recovery. But if you do offsite storage and you took everything off to the offsite storage on Wednesday and your failure occurred on Thursday afternoon, well, you're going to lose all of Thursday's transactions. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. But by doing that type of disaster scenario, again, you have to come up with a physical location that's going to be your new data center, as well as the location. You come up with servers and everything like that, and to physically rebuild them. So that's just going to take some time. Now, that is actually probably a relatively inexpensive way of doing it out of the gate, because you don't have to have that expense, ongoing expense, all the time. Another way of doing disaster recovery is having some sort of standby mechanism or standby systems. Now, this is a little bit more costly, pretty reliable, but it does two things for you. Number one, it enables you to fail over very, very quickly. Number two, it's also going to minimize your data loss. Now, when you set up your Oracle systems, you've got a couple of ways of setting up your Oracle systems. We can enable what's called replication, and this is replication that's not stream, so it's something completely different. When we set up replication within an Oracle environment, this is before we're dealing with disaster recovery, and we've got a couple main ways to set up disaster recovery or replication within Oracle. One is called maximum protection, and the other one is called maximum performance. Now, what happens in these is you have two physical sites. You have a primary site and you have a secondary site. The secondary site is not a system that's up and running and where you can go in and make modifications to. The secondary site is strictly there to receive transactions from the primary site. It's not a hot database, okay? So as transactions are being recorded on your primary site, if you set it up to be called maximum protection, it will automatically write that transaction over to the second site. The transaction will not be deemed complete until it has successfully written to the secondary site and the primary site. So for some reason the secondary site is down, that transaction will hang. Okay, the whole database will hang until that secondary site comes available. But that's called maximum protection. So in the event of the primary site is gone, flood, fire, whatever, the secondary site will kick in and you will have zero data loss. I mean, there will be absolutely no data loss. The only downtime that you're going to have is the amount of time that it takes to fail over to that secondary site. So there's a huge advantage to that, is that if I have a fire in my data center, if my secondary site is in a separate geographical location, and that's the key here, is that your secondary site must be in a separate geographical location, is that we will immediately fail over to that secondary site, we'll have no transactions that were lost, and the amount of time that the only thing that's going to be affected is our availability, and that availability can go dramatically down. Okay, but please keep in mind, it is going to be a little bit more expensive to do that because you have a separate server, a separate location, and all the things that are set. Most organizations don't really care about the second locations because there's very few organizations out there, especially IT organizations, that are based off of one centralized location. You know, they have a main data center here, but they might have a second data center in another geographical location. So what a lot of times is they feed off of each other. So that's if you set up what's called maximum protection. The other one, which is called maximum performance. In a maximum performance scenario, by using disaster recovery and replication, that's saying that whenever we do an online redo log switch, we ship the archive log files over, and those archive log files are applied to that secondary database. The advantage of that is that you're not relying on that secondary database to be up and running. If for some reason that secondary database goes south, guess what? It's really not that big of a deal. You're just not going to be shipping those archive log files over, but your production database will still be running. Okay. Now, if the primary goes down and the secondary has gone down, then your disaster recovery scenario is severely compromised. But we don't really want that to happen. A lot of organizations will set up what's called maximum performance. What they will do is that they will ship the archive log files over as they are created. Now, what will happen is that secondary site is always going to be behind by the current online redo log files. So you're not going to have the exact data. So if something happens to that primary site, a fire, a flood, an earthquake, whatever, we can fail over to that secondary site. We can still fail over to that secondary site relatively quickly. However, there will be data loss. We will lose whatever is in the current online redo logs of that primary site. So that is something that you have to keep in mind. I mean, do you want to have maximum protection, which means we will have zero data loss in the event of a disaster? However, it's not going to give us the best overall performance. Or do we want to deal with what's called maximum performance, which in the event of a disaster, we will lose some data, but it will not affect the current production system. And that is something your own organization has to set up. So what you need to understand is when we talk about the differences between backup recovery and disaster recovery, backup recovery is going to be dealing with predominantly RMAN. It's going to be dealing with restoring the database in the event of some sort of human error. It's going to be based on recovering the system is going to be based in of hours and minutes and seconds. Okay. And we want to recover our data to our database to have zero data loss and as fast as possible. Now, disaster recovery is we have a primary database in one geographical location and a secondary database in a separate geographical location. Recovery from a disaster is measured in hours and days. There is a potential expectation that you can lose. It's somewhat acceptable to lose data in the event of a disaster. Now, you know, that will be dependent upon your own organizational needs, but a lot of times in the event of a disaster, an earthquake or a flood or something like that, you also have the human issue. A lot of companies, I mean, if there is an earthquake, organizations are more concerned with dealing with the personnel issues than so much bringing the computer systems up to speed. So disaster recovery, recovering the system is going to be more acceptable to recover it in a few days than it is in a few hours. And if you have some data loss, that is totally acceptable. So the other thing is make sure that you test both scenarios. Make sure that you test the failover for your disaster recovery, and also make sure that you test your backup and recoveries. Because if you don't, and then something happens, and they're not able to recover, that could be problematic, and then you could really be in a world of hurt. I would especially suggest about once a quarter, once every 6 months, test your disaster recovery plan. That's good practice to make sure that your disaster recovery plan works. Because again, in the event that you have a disaster, you know actually how to go in and hopefully recover from the disaster. So that will conclude our section here on disaster recovery versus backup and recovery here on GoGo Radio. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to shoot me an email, and I will get back to them as soon as I possibly can. And if there's any courses that you would like us to teach, please let us know, and we'll try to accommodate your needs as best as possible.